Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. That group that just sang Mornings with Jesus, they're called the King's Herald, four male singers. And this is from their Love album, which they put out in 1976. I was a 17-year-old in 1976. And the King's Herald, their album Love. The song you just heard, Morning Moments with Jesus. We are doing a study on Psalms 20, verse 7, a study that draws a comparison between what the ungodly put their trust in and what the people of God put their trust in. Psalm 20 reads like this. Some, referring to the unsaved, some trust in chariots, and some, again, referring to the unconverted, and some trust in horses, but we, the people of God, the people of faith, those in covenant with the Lord, but we, all of us, 100% of us, will remember, will put our faith and trust in the name or the resume of the Lord. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and we praise your name. As we draw near to you this morning, at this moment, Lord, we pray for the St. John's Nursing Home, St. Johnsville Nursing Home, who is racked with COVID, every unit. We pray for Val Fiegels, our dear sister and church member who heads the St. Johnsville Nursing Home, who runs it. She's home in bed with COVID. Touch her body. Heal her from head to toe. We pray that you would protect every soul in that nursing home, from Unit A to Unit C. We pray that you would spare their lives. We pray for mercy. We pray for the Palatine Bridge Nursing Home, the nursing home we didn't go to today because we didn't want to spread any COVID over there. Lord, we pray for those poor souls there. We pray, Lord, that the COVID would not jump from one nursing home to another. We pray for your hand of mercy, O God. We pray for us as we are in your word today. Speak to us, encourage us, bless us, O God, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. Things have not changed much since the days of David. David penned Psalm 20. He penned it, he wrote it, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and then he submitted it to the choir master, the choir director of his day. He wrote it, submitted it for the choir director to put it in the national hymn book. Psalm 20 is a prayer. It starts out as a prayer, ends as a prayer, and sandwiched between the opening prayer and the closing prayer, let's look at the invocation. The invocation, an invocation is the opening prayer of a service in which we invite God, invocare from the Latin. We are invoking God. We are inviting him to be in our midst. So Psalm 20 verse 1 says, "The Lord hear thee." It's a prayer. "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee." That's the opening prayer. The closing prayer, the benediction is, "Save, Lord. Let the king hear us when we call." Save, O God. It's a prayer. It's a prayer that God will save. Now, in between the invocation and the benediction, you have the sermon. And the sermon is a confession of faith. And this is the confession. Some trust in chariots, and some trust in horses, but that will not be us. We are determined. We will call and trust and remember and boast and take pride and rely on the name of the Lord. So, we saw in our first lesson how the Egyptians and Pharaoh trusted in horses and in chariots. In our second lesson, we saw how the Canaanites of northern Canaan went into battle against Joshua, and how the Canaanites trusted in horses and in chariots, but to no avail like the Egyptians. Today we're in the book of Judges. We're in Judges chapter 4, verses 1 through 24. Here the armies of Jabin, king of Canaan, trusted in chariots and horses. But Deborah, the prophetess of the Lord, and Barak, his hand-picked general, trusted, along with Israel, in the Lord. So you have, again, a contrast between what the ungodly, the Canaanites, trusted in, chariots and in horses, and what the people of God trusted in. They trusted in the invisible Lord of hosts. And we want to find out who won at the end of the day. Now, before I get into today's lesson, please go to page 3 in your outline, because there's a typo there. There's a typo and there's a word missing. And so I want you to insert that word in your outline so that the write-up can make sense. Now, the write-up is the one that begins with the word chariots. Chariots. It's in the middle of the page. Chariots appears right under scripture text, and chariots is in bold. So let us begin. It says, the chariot rivaled the composite bow in its effectiveness as a weapon, but only wealthier, and you're missing a word right after wealthier, and it is the word nations, but only wealthier nations could establish and maintain a chariot force. So please forgive me for leaving that word nations out. It was not intentional. It was an oversight. My hands were going faster than my brain, and I skipped the word. So the word there that's missing is nations, but only wealthier nations could establish and maintain a chariot force. I hope all of the write-ups are helping you and blessing you, because they really give the complete picture as to what the people of God were up against when the opposing forces had these chariots and these horses. As always, I am not going to be reading today's three write-ups. We have three. One is entitled Weapons and Warriors, Judges chapter 4, verses 1 through 24. Also, I will not be reading the two on the bottom, Chariots of Iron. You can read that at your leisure, but let's get into the lesson. Let's open up our Bibles to Judges chapter 4, verses 1 through 24. And here again is another example as to why it is futile, it's silly, it's nonsensical for God's people to put their trust in anything but the Lord. Let the world put their trust in all of their inventions. We, the militant church, will go into battle knowing that our God always tips the balance of power in our favor. So, Judges chapter 4, verses 1 through 24. Thus beginneth the reading of God's precious and holy word.
When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth-Hagoyim. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel.
So notice, God's people do evil. They sin in his sight. They go, as we say, hog wild into sin. You know how people act like hogs. They go hog wild. What does hog wild mean? Well, whenever a pig, after you bathe a pig, a pig sees a mud pool or a mire pool, after washing him, he runs, the pig runs crazy, hog wild, and dives into the mud right after you bathe them. That's what the people of God did. God was always cleaning them up, and after their cleaning, they were run hog wild into sin, and God said, well, I'm going to chastise you, I'm going to punish you, I'm going to hand you over into the brutal, tyrannical government of Jabin, the king of the Canaanites. But notice, things change when the children of Israel repent and they cry out to the Lord in prayer. Verse 3, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. They prayed. Now, that phrase, children of Israel, means all 12 tribes. It doesn't say the children of Manasseh or the children of Ephraim, which would refer to one or two tribes, if you combine them together. When it says the children of Israel, it's referring to all 12 tribes. And all 12 tribes joined for a national prayer meeting and cried out unto the Lord for this king of Canaan was a tyrant and a despot, and he subjugated them by using 900 chariots of iron. I want to encourage you to read the little write-up that we have here, because it'll explain what chariots of iron are in greater detail. Let's continue reading at verse 4, because notice, when the people of God pray, when the people of God repent, he answers by sending them a preacher. In this case, it's a woman preacher, a prophetess by the name of Deborah, the bumblebee.
Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kedesh in Naphtali.
Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded? Go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor. Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun. And against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand.
And Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go.
I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman.
Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kedesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kedesh. He went up with 10,000 men under his command, and Deborah went up with him. Now Heber, the Kenite, of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had separated himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent near the terebinth tree at Zaanan, which is beside Kedesh. And they reported to Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor. So Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him, from Harosheth Hazoim to the river Kishon. Then Deborah said to Barak,
up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you?
So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord granted Sisera all his chariots, all his arms, with the edge of the sword, before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim. All the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword, Not a man was left. However, Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him,
"Turn aside, my lord. Turn aside to me. Do not fear."
And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket.
"Please, give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty."
So she opened a jug of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him.
"Stand at the door of the tent, and if any man comes and inquires of you, and says, 'Is there any man here?' you shall say no."
Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple. And he went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. So he died. And then, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him.
"Come, I will show you the man whom you seek."
And when he went into her tent, there lay Sisera, dead, with the peg in his temple. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, in the presence of the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan.
So there you have it. Let's look at Judges 4:14. "And Deborah said unto Barak," or Barak, as the reader said, "Up, for this is the day in which the Lord have delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee?" Now, when you look at that phrase, that's the same phrase that we've been going over in Deuteronomy 31:8. And Moses said to Joshua, "It is the Lord who goes before thee. He leads the charge. He leads the battle. He secures and grants the victory." So notice, they had these chariots of iron, which means that these were specialized chariots. They had things on them that chariots before didn't have, and that's why I want you to read the write-up. But notice, how did God neutralize the chariots? Well, you got to read Judges chapter 5, verses 19 through 22, because God caused a huge rainstorm to come. The rainstorm created mud, and the chariots, the 900 specialized chariots, were neutralized, were stuck, were made immobile by the mud, which was caused by the rainstorm that the Lord of hosts sent. Remember, we talked about how God has an army of angels, God has an army of men, God has an army of creatures, and God has an army in nature. So notice, in this particular battle, God chose not to use angels. God chose not to use creatures, but he used two. He paired two. Which two did God pair? Well, he paired men: Deborah, Barak, and the 10,000 Israelites. That was the army of men. And who did God pair that with? He paired it with nature. God sent a rainstorm. The rainstorm caused the rivers to become overflooded, causing all the land to be what? To be drenched in water, thus causing the mud, and made the chariots, the specialized chariots, immobile. Thus, the people of God overcame the Canaanites because they trusted in the Lord. Some trust in horses, some in chariots. We, the people of the Lord, from beginning to end, from the beginning of Judges 4 and verse 3, the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then God sent a word, intel, through Deborah, the prophetess. She recruited Barak, or Barak, however you want to pronounce it. He was told through the word of the Lord that came through Deborah how many soldiers to recruit, 10,000. Where to meet, where to go, where the fight would happen, and what would the outcome be. All of this strategy, location for battle, all of it, nature, the rainstorm, all of it came from the Lord. And that's how we're to go into battle, saints. We're to go. Now listen, it's a different age. I get it. There's no chariots and horses in our warfare today. But there's greater enemies than chariots and greater things than chariots and horses. But we, the people of God, are to trust in the Lord. The ungodly will put their trust in YouTube and in Facebook and television and the airwaves to infiltrate our churches and to leaven our churches and to corrupt our churches. But we, the people of God, will trust in the Lord. And it all starts with prayer. It all starts with the children of Israel crying out to the Lord. And as long as we cry out to God, as long as we have prayer first, and we have our prayer first prayer meeting, the victory is ours. Because God is a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. And his desire is to grant his church the victory over all ungodly forces who would want to decimate and destroy his church. I'll be back tomorrow to do part 4, the final segment in this series. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Until then, I leave you with the King's Herald singing King Jesus. Bye.
Simon.